Yeah, so I've been driving about 3 hours, and I've been trying to come up with a message to throw out there so people can think about something. Something to think about. If you have entered into faith alone in Jesus' finished work, you've received Christ into your heart by faith, and you've been born again, then God Almighty will not let you stay the same. I don't care if you were a narcissist. I don't care if you were selfish. I don't care if you were whatever. God will not let you stay the same. Because once you get born again, in real faith, He's going to start pushing the buttons of that old Adamic nature, that old Adam, or the old Eve. And He's going to make you grow, whether you like it or not. Because the Holy Spirit, the sanctification is really the Holy Spirit. Has nothing to do with you, has nothing to do with me. The sanctification is His Spirit in you. If you received His Spirit into your heart by faith, Lord, come into my heart by faith and save me. Lord, I deserve hell. Please, I'm the worst of sinners. Come into my heart and save me. So if you receive the Holy Spirit, then the sanctification process starts at that moment. And sanctification means what? Set apart. He's going to start setting you apart. You're not going to be like the world. You're not going to be like the unsaved. You actually won't even like to be around them anymore eventually. You won't even like to be around the unsaved. Because your affections are above, not below, you know? And so, that process of dying daily dying to selfishness, dying to your own will, dying to your own agenda, dying to your own image that you had of yourself. God is changing you into the image of Jesus. Dying to certain language, dying to certain words, dying to certain things on TV, dying to a lot of stuff, you know. And as you go through that sanctification process, you're going to be separate from the world. Eventually, you're going to be just like, I don't even want to hear what the world has to say anymore. Not from here. Not of this place. Because if you really think about it, if you get the Holy Spirit, where's the Holy Spirit from? Outside of time, outside of the terrestrial, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're sealed. You have the earnest of the Spirit, just like when you buy a house, you put down earnest money, right? And so you're sealed until the day of redemption. And what are you sealed with? Christ in you, the Holy Spirit, God in you. If you have the Holy Spirit's exact copy of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's exact copy of God. I'm not calling you God, but I'm saying you're sons of God, daughters of God. When you look at your natural parent, you look like them. You look like your mama or your daddy. So if you're sons of God, you're going to look like Jesus. You're going to look like God to the world. And that's why He told Israel, He says, you're little gods because you have the Word of God. And when you really step into it and really run from the world, give up the world completely, and you step into it, you'll realize that the world had nothing to begin with. It was just distractions. That's all it was. And the objects that will hit you, O-B-J-E-C-T. O-B is against, throw. J-E-C-T is throw. So the objects were thrown against you from the spirit realm, manifested down here in the natural form. But every object is really has spiritual truth. It's all spiritual. And so when you get hit in the eye gate, the ear gate, touch gate, the five senses, is you're being hit by the Holy Spirit to bring you back to your senses, that you really have everything you need in Christ. You don't need anything else. The only thing else you need down here is the body of Christ to push you higher. If you're married to a saved person, praise God, hallelujah, you got it made, because you push each other higher.
There's a stalled vehicle ahead.
And you can see that in Ephesians 4, where it says there's many members in the body designed to push the other one higher. There's different gifts in the body of Christ, and the different gifts minister each member to push the body of Christ higher. When you really step into the fact that this whole thing's about the body of Christ, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about your agenda, it's about building up the body of Christ. When you really step into it, your whole world's going to change. And so every member who is in the body becomes your family, and you care about them with agape love, and agape love is God's love. So you want to help the believers. You're willing to spend and be spent for the believers, to pull them out of the miry clay if they get caught up, to pull them out of a trap or a trick. You're there to help pull the believers out of a devil's snare. And some believers don't even know they're ensnared, because they're still babies. They're still drinking milk. And so as they drink more milk and more milk and more milk, and then they finally step into the meat of the word and start eating the meat of the word, they can start to grow. But as long as they're drinking milk, they're being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And the Bible says a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. So the being tossed to and fro, being double-minded, is a milk toast. Milk and a milk toast. Because they can't be strong. You got to get the word in. You got to get some meat in you, in that body, to get you strong. If you eat three meats, you're going to get your amino acid chain to hold together more. So every time I go to Subway, I get three meats, because it helps the amino acid chain to stay intact, you know. The milk of the word makes you weak. The meat of the word makes you strong. The Bible says that. There's a reason that he says that. You can use the Bible to learn what to eat and how to have longevity and all that. You can use the cartoons, you know. You had the guy eating spinach. What was his name? His girlfriend was olive oil. And every time he needed to get strong, somebody was messing with olive oil, he would get some spinach. And so extra virgin olive oil, you saw that she was acting like a virgin. So extra virgin olive oil will give you strength too. It's encoded in the cartoons. It's encoded in the stories. It's encoded in the Bible. The milk of the word versus the meat of the word. God didn't put that in there for not just one-dimensional truth. It's a fractal hologram, and it's multidimensional. So you gotta look at this thing and penetrate it down to multi-levels, multi-layers. If you think that that object is just an object, you're thinking wrong. Every object has multiple meanings at different levels. It might be allegorical. It might be metaphorical. It might be metaphysical. It might be spiritual. It might be, did I say allegorical? Allegorical, metaphorical, symbolic, spiritual, typology, a type and shadow. There's like seven different things that one object could be, and maybe more. So let's say you're looking at a tire on a car or a wheel on a car. It'll have seven different levels of understanding on that. There's object lessons unlimited just on a tire on a car. Where the rubber meets the road. Where the rubber meets the road. You gotta have a frame for that tire to grab hold of. You got to get your framework right, whether it's a house or a tire, if you're building a house or anything, building a family, a marriage, the framework has to be right. And if the framework is not right, it's going to fall down. You got to be on the same page. If you got some blueprints in front of you, and you got the electrical, the plumbing, the carpentry work, you got all this stuff on the blueprint. They all have to be on the same page. And so when the electricians go in, they have to be cognizant, if that's the right word. They have to be aware of what's going on with the plumbers. If the electrician goes in, or the plumber, or the carpenter, they have to know, hey, I can't do this until you put your wiring in here. I can't do this until you put your plumbing in here. And the plumber says, I'm waiting on you to do the wall so I can put the plumbing in. You have to see the big picture. When you build a house, metaphorically or allegorically or physically or emotionally or spiritually or whatever, build a home, a house, whatever you want to say, you have to get all the pieces and all the puzzle pieces together. And it all has to fit together. The woman has her role, the man has his role. It's all a building fitly framed together. And until you understand there's a foundational truth, there's walls, there's sheetrock, there's flooring, there's a roof, and that house that you're building is an allegory of the spiritual house. And that spiritual house has to be right. You have to get your doctrine right, sound doctrine. You can't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You got to get some sound doctrine. God, all you have to do is pray, Lord, I want to know the truth. I want the truth, not my understanding, but the absolute truth. And if you really mean business, He'll show it to you. He'll send somebody into your life to show you the truth. But if you love the lie, or if you go by feelings, you're not going to see the truth. You got to stand on truth. And you bring your feelings under subjection of truth. You bring your feelings under subjection of doctrine. You bring your feelings under subjection of God's word, not your own understanding. And you have to trust it from Genesis to Revelation. You've got to believe it. If you don't, write your own Bible. If you don't believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, write your own book, write your own Bible, and see how many followers you get. The Bible stood the test of time over 2,000 years. And people have picked on it, plucked on it, tried to change it, tried to muddy it, and it never works. It still stands. King James, Genesis to Revelation. People live for that. People die for that. That's your drinking water. That's your food. That's your meat. That's your sustenance. That's how you get up every day, studying your Bible. I couldn't get up if there wasn't a Bible down here. I just... lay in the bed and just started down. I couldn't function. If I didn't have my Bible, if I didn't have the King James Version of the Bible, and now that we got the internet, you can look up the Greek and the Hebrew and the Strong's Concordance and all that. The Strong's Concordance really helped me. But whenever you're studying the Bible, you got to take it into context. You can't take it out of context, because if you take it out of context, you get confused. And so it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And so the context of the verse, the chapter, the book, and you put it all together in a framework, and you build a house on it. And the house will not fall. As long as you stand on that sound doctrine, your house will not fall. But if you stand on shaky ground, your whole spiritual building that you build is going to collapse. not going to make sense. If it contradicts, there's a reason. If somewhere in the Bible, if you contradict the Bible's not wrong. You are. If you're going through the Bible and you think you got a contradiction, nope, you just have to dig deeper. I remember when I first started studying it, I gave up everything. I gave up everything for the truth. I mean everything. I would carry a Bible in my sock and I'd read it at lunch. So yeah, when you give up everything for the truth is everything. And then God adds to it, you know. If you really just give up everything for the truth, He'll add to the truth. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about if you lose family in this life, He'll give you, if you lose family based on the truth, not only will He give you more family in this life, namely the church, but even in heaven. Not only is He going to give you more family in the life to come, but He'll give you more family down here, you know, in this life. And so the body of Christ, as soon as you talk to somebody who's saved, you know, hey, that's my brother, that's my sister. Praise God. Hallelujah. And hopefully, there's some people out there that you might be ministering to, two or three people, you know, whether it's a text or a phone call or email or whatever, you might be ministering to one to two people who are saved. They might be struggling until they get strong, you know. A lot of times, when a person's been beat up by the system, by the unsaved, they get kind of weak, and then they run to church and get saved, or run to Jesus, get saved, find some members of the body, and the body of Christ makes them strong. I'm not saying you have to be stuck in a church building, but you have to have the members to build you up. And it's not that anybody's trying to manipulate anybody. It's just you need the body of Christ. You need to be honest, genuine with people. If somebody's struggling with something, they talk to a member of the body of Christ, and they overcome it, you know. It's really a trip, to be honest, I experienced that big time. I experienced that big time where you got attacked by the world and you talk to some real, genuine believers and you start to heal, you know. Let's say there's a man out there that's bitter against women because of something happened, or a woman who's bitter against men. You can overcome that. Because the saved person, they're not perfect, but they want you to grow. They want to do what's right. They want to do what's healthy, healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? You want longevity. So the body of Christ, the genuine, the real body of Christ, are going to build each other up. And you can be healed from all the abuse of the world. You can be healed if you get around some genuine, true believers who have agape love. That's God's love. That's not romantic love. That's not necessarily family love. If they're saved, it's kind of like family. And it's not friendship. But you can be a friend. It can be a friendship. But it's God's love. And then if it's really a born again, you can have the friendship and family feeling. But it's not like the world thinks. The love of God is different than what the world thinks, you know. And so, you can be healed. And, you know, you might go to a psychologist, or you might go to a doctor, or you might go to this. But I really believe the only way for a person or people to be healed is God's love. And you can't give love to the world or to somebody unless you have received God's love. Because the love that the world tries to give is not real love. It's the world's kind of love, you know. The world, the flesh, the pride of life. But when you love somebody, You know, if you got two people,
there's a stalled vehicle ahead.
If you got two people that really love each other, they're willing to spend and be spent for each other, spend and be spent for the other one. So it's a process of building that trust, building that love, building that camaraderie-ship, or whatever that word is, comrade, you know, and working through stuff. Usually a saved person's willing to admit, hey, I sinned, I messed up, I said the wrong thing, I was wrong, please forgive me. A saved person can admit wrong. An unsaved person can't, because it's all pride. A prideful, unsaved person can never admit they're wrong. And the reason they don't is because they think, well, if I admit I'm wrong, they're going to reject me. No, the saved people, if somebody says I was wrong, please forgive me, they're going to receive you more, because you got that humility, you know, the humility of Christ, you know. Because you're lining up with the truth. Because the Bible says in 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. That's what it says. So if we say, I'm perfect, I have no sin, then we're lying and deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Because the Bible says that we're all sinners. We're all beggars at the foot of the cross. We all need each other. We all need to build each other up. We all need to forgive and endure. Like Apostle Paul said, he said, just forgive one another. He went to the third heaven. He came back and he said, here's what needs to happen in the church. Y'all need to show agape love to each other. And y'all need to forgive each other and be thankful in all things. Pray without ceasing. In all things give prayer. In all things give thanks and pray. And just keep praying. You know. I'm watching a situation right now. I'm seeing somebody being blessed and they are getting their heart's desire, and brings tears to my eyes just seeing it. You know. Brings tears to my eyes. Things are, when you really do what's right and you get that humble spirit, you're willing to let God lead and guide and do it His way and die to your own will, die to your own self. And He starts to say, okay, your heart's right, so let's make it happen. It's all about the heart, getting the heart right. What else do I have to say? I don't know. I think I've said all this before. I've said it 1,000 times. I don't even know what I started out talking about. I guess I could pause this and listen. Hold on one sec. Let me do that. So yeah, scroll back to the beginning. Yeah, God's going to force you to grow. If you get saved, if you get serious, and you have faith, He's going to force you to grow. And it is what it is. Hopefully He can force you to grow with the positive, you know. But some people, probably like myself, I need to scourge. For me to grow, I have to be really scourged, it seems like. But some people can grow by the blessings, you know. I usually need a spanking to grow to the next level. And that might just be me, but that might be just my way of thinking that it is, but it's probably not. Because, you know, God has blessed me in many ways, and it helped me grow, the brothers and sisters in Christ. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't know what I know now. I wouldn't be where I'm at. To know that you're loved by the body of Christ, it's going to give, even if you don't talk to anybody, you've experienced it. You know, you can go to any church that's really preaching the truth, and you walk in the front door and they say, hey, brother. And you say, hey, yep, I'm your brother. You got a family all over the world. You go to China and meet some Christians. You got a family over there. You got support everywhere you go. The born-again family will support you. They will have patience. They will help you. If they're really born again, you know, if they're really serious and genuine. So like I say, if there's somebody out there that's feeling all alone, you don't need to. Just go find you a born-again brother, sister, or local church or something. Email them, text them, whatever. And just have somebody talk to them. We all go through the same struggles. Everybody goes through the same struggles. Everybody goes through the same trouble and struggle. Everybody. It's just a matter if you want to grow through it and get to the other side. You can stay in the pity party, or you can push through to the other side. It's painful to change your view to a new view. Is very painful to shift your reality or your paradigm to a new paradigm. It can be painful. It can be scary. It can be rough. But you got to just keep praying and fasting and pushing out the baby, you know? Pushing out the baby. And that, what I mean by that, if there's a new person listening, you're moving from glory to glory, from state to state. So every day, the cycle of life turns. You're birthing in a new creature. You're birthing in a new you. The you you were yesterday is not the you you are today. You're a new creature today than you were yesterday. So, if God is blessing you, praise God. Learn from it. If God is scourging you, praise God. Learn from it. Because you know it's going to bring a holy... If you're being scourged, praise God, you're being refined by fire. And also, if God is scourging you, praise God, because you read that in Hebrews, that God scourges his own sons, his own. He's not going to scourge. The devil don't give his people a spanking, because he knows they're going to destroy themselves. God scourges you because he loves you. He gives you a spanking and corrects you because he loves you. Then that's what's wrong with this society. If you're correcting somebody, say, hey, you're going off track. I'm sorry, but that's not right. You're not doing it to attack them. You're doing it to help them. You're telling them, hey, don't do that because it's not healthy. It's not this. Or you're gonna have a crash and burn. Do this instead. Or don't listen, but I'm telling you. Just like when they say, don't eat fast food every day. They're not trying to hurt you. They're trying to help you. Don't drink sodas every day. Cut back sugar. They're trying to help you. They're not trying to hurt you. They're not being self-righteous. They just know. They've done the research, and they know. Becoming a new creature day by day, because the cycles of time are the birthing cycles to move you to your new state. From glory to glory. From state to state. The you you're going to be tomorrow is a different you if you do the introspection and learn. But if you don't do the introspection, you're going to stay at that level that you're at. But I promise you, in a year, if you do daily introspection and let God correct you, in a year you're going to be a new creature, a new person, and you're going to look back and say, who is that person? I don't even know that person anymore. You know? That's the deal, people. That is the deal. So, I think I'm going to end it. I think that's enough. You got to get your mind under sound teaching. Sound doctrine. You got to listen to some sound doctrine for a while. It's going to be painful, because the world has lied to us, and there's so many people out there saying all kinds of junk. And so when you hear the truth, it might hurt, but that's okay. It's like you take medicine, it hurts. You get a shot to heal you. It might hurt, but it heals you, you know? That is the deal.